CBS News, I'm Gary Nahn. A tense, bloody, and confusing confrontation outside New York City's Empire State Building this morning.
Everybody's still shaken up. Everybody, I just can't believe that happened just that fast.
I'm Heather Bosch outside the Empire State Building.
You guys gotta move here.
Where police say a suspect died in a gun battle with officers. This witness confirms.
We hear like a noise, pop. I saw the shooter dead on the floor. Yeah, on the sidewalk, he's dead.
Police say the suspect had just killed a worker at a nearby import store where he'd been laid off. When he walked outside the store, that's when the gunfire erupted. Several bystanders were injured. It's unclear if they were hurt by the suspect's bullets or the cops. Heather Bosch, CBS News, New York.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg says some of the injured may have been hit by police bullets during the shooting. Two U.S. government employees are in stable condition, both in an American embassy armored vehicle today, met by a spray of gunfire outside Cuernavaca in south of Mexico City, the vehicle being escorted by four Mexican Marines. Still, the tropical storm Isaac is ripping across Haiti and the Dominican Republic right now. Rick Nabb of the National Hurricane Center says it probably won't gain strength before tomorrow, but could power up by the time it moves into the Gulf of Mexico early next week.
We can't pinpoint any one spot in South Florida or any one spot elsewhere in Florida that would receive the strongest winds or the heaviest rains and flooding and highest storm surges along the coast.
Isaac, expected to veer west of Tampa, sighted the GOP National Convention next week. Florida Governor Rick Scott optimistic.
There's no indication that people are deciding not to come. We're prepared. This is a state that understands hurricanes. We know how to prepare for them.
Scott says parts of his state are expected to feel some of the effects of Isaac. The so-called birther controversy is back on the campaign front burner, this time by the Romney-Ryan campaign.
Donald Trump had been one of the more prominent people asking questions about where President Obama was born.
All I want to do is see this guy's birth certificate.
Now Mitt Romney's adding his voice to the mix.
No one's ever asked to see my birth certificate. They know that this is the place that we were born and raised.
He and his wife Ann were at a campaign rally in Michigan. A spokesman for the Obama campaign says Romney's comments should give pause to any rational voter across America. Mr. Obama has released several copies of his birth certificate that show he was born in Hawaii, but some say that's not good enough. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
Romney, born in Michigan. You know his voice.
Greeting. I am the Count.
Jerry Nelson, the puppeteer known for playing the instructional Count Von Count on Sesame Street, has died. He was 78. Nelson also played on Fraggle Rock and the Muppet Show's Sergeant Floyd Pepper of the Electric Mayhem Band, Pigs in Space. Wall Street right now, the Dow Industrials up 79 points, the Nasdaq ahead by 15, S&P 500 up 7 points, oil just above $95 a barrel. This is CBS News.
It's summer, and while the temperatures may be way up, mortgage rates are way down. In fact, an 8-year mortgage loan is just 2.75%, APR 3.47%. Jay Farner here, folks, and I've got more amazing news for you. We found that a traditional 30-year fixed-rate mortgage isn't right for everyone. Sound like you? Then you're going to love the Quicken Loans exclusive mortgage, a fixed-rate home loan that allows you to select a term that works best for you. Anywhere from 8 to 29 years. Your mortgage on your terms, that's the Quicken Loans Yorgage. The name sounds funny, but it's going to save you money. Call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com right now. Not tomorrow, not 2 hours from now, but right now. And find out if our Yorgage is right for you. Our entire team of mortgage experts is waiting to help you. So call 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com and see why we're engineered to amaze.
Other restrictions may apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Israel has issued a warning as the International Atomic Energy Agency is holding more talks with Iran.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Iran is making quick progress toward the atom bomb and ignoring Western demands to curb its nuclear program. Israeli spokesman Mark Regev.
We are concerned that the Iranians are playing for time to continue aggressively moving towards a nuclear weapon.
Netanyahu was responding to reports that Iran has installed many more centrifuges at an underground nuclear site. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
Squeezed by the recession, the Labor Department says the word recovery is fleeting for millions. Most of those fortunate enough to find new jobs after being pink-slipped have had to settle for less pay. Evidence of the lingering weakness even after the theoretical end of the recession. I'm Gary Nunn, CBS News.
Congratulations. I know you'll be very happy with the Honda Pilot.
Before I go, I just want to say I'd given up on getting a great deal until today.
I'm glad you didn't, sir. And before you go, I just want to say it was an honor to give a well-qualified buyer like you a great 0.9% APR financing deal, sir.
As you were, Honda salesman. As you were.
Another happily ever after moment brought to you by the huge inventory and great deals at the Honda Summer Clearance Event. See dealer for financing details.
Running a facility, chances are managing inventory isn't your favorite part of the day. Stocking and tracking, ordering and organizing, all necessary evils eating up your time. That's why Grainger's KeepStock services help you manage your inventory more efficiently, from basic labeling and scanning to secure dispensing machines, putting you in total control, often allowing you to buy less, making things seem, well, not so evil anymore. Contact your Grainger representative or visit Grainger.com/KeepStock today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Friday. Karen Vealey's in here from CalcoastNews.com, and we got things to talk about today, things to share. And I'll tell you about the fool's mission I went on yesterday.
Now, here's Bill Benica.
But the first thing we need to talk about today, Lance Armstrong. He says he's not going to fight anymore. Stripped of seven medals, seven Tour de France titles, and a lifetime ban. And what I want to know is, I mean, can you find reliability in an 8-year-old urine sample?
Bicycle.
I want to ride my
expressed on talk is cheaper bills, the callers, and the occasional stray that wanders in the studio. They're not necessarily those of the owners, management, sponsors, staff, delivery people, janitorial service. Consider this a personal invitation to pick up the phone and exercise your constitutional right to express your opinion.
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osos in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
All right. Let's do our who's this and what's it, our birthdays and everything on the Tribune today. Our Highland history on August 24th in 1992, Hurricane Andrew smashed into Florida, causing $30 billion in damage. 43 U.S. deaths were blamed on that storm. And now they await Isaac. In 1814, during the War of 1812, British forces invaded Washington, D.C., setting fire to the Capitol and the White House, as well as other buildings. 1949, the North Atlantic Treaty came into force. In 1954, President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed the Communist Control Act, outlawing the Communist Party in the United States. And in 1981, Mark David Chapman was sentenced in New York to 20 years to life in prison for murdering John Lennon. His parole date was this week, and he was denied. Our birthday's former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee is 57. Baseball Hall of Famer Cal Ripken Jr. is 52. Talk show host Craig Kilborn is 50. Actor-comedian Dave Chappelle is 39. And actor Rupert Grint from the Harry Potter films is 24 today. Happy birthday to them and to you if it's yours.
Happy birthday to you.
Your business will work better when you work with Coastal Computers. Coastal Computers is here for small business. It doesn't matter whether price is your first concern or your last. Service is Coastal Computers' first concern, and that includes your successful, user-friendly, and painless operation. Really, computer networking where the tail doesn't wag the dog. Coastal Computers is known for making the tough stuff easy. They've been doing it for over 25 years with lots of happy clients, and they're worth a call. 543-9047, 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. Call 543-9047 or visit ccslo.com. People in the business of letting you get on with your business. Call 543-9047 for Coastal Computers.
It is time for CalCoastNews.com Week in Review, and I have Karen Vealy right here in the studio with me. I thank you for joining me, Karen, today.
Hello.
All right, I'll tell you about my fool's errand yesterday. My wife and I were in it together. We were last Saturday, I believe it was last Saturday or last Sunday. Don't hold me to which one of those. Last Saturday, Sunday, we went down to Avila, and we were watching the crazy pelicans and the whales and everything was flopping around. But we didn't really see them. We think we saw one whale, but we weren't sure. But anyway, we weren't really concentrating on thinking there was whales there. So it wasn't until they brought up in the news, you know, and said, here, there's all these pictures of these whales. So we decided yesterday afternoon, why don't we just drive down to the beach and see the whales again? We got maybe within 2 miles of Port San Luis. Maybe. I mean, you know, maybe. We got a little bit past Avila, and that's where the line of traffic stopped that was trying to get into Port San Luis. Are you kidding me? You know, they said that people from all over the world and stuff were coming in to see this thing, you know, and photographers and all this stuff. Anyway, I didn't think it'd be that hideous. I thought maybe it'd be a little bit of a problem, but anyway. So the U-turn was committed. I'm going to confess right here. I committed a U-turn and went home. There's no way you're going to get anywhere near it.
I think the best time to go though is early in the morning. I've been going out about 7-8 o'clock and sitting and having my coffee and watching. I haven't gone in a couple of days, but it's just stunning. And it's still kind of busy then.
Right.
And the whales are more active in the mornings anyway.
Well, I've never seen so much. The cars, you know, normally there's a lot of cars once you get past Avila. There's a lot of cars that line the road and people go down to the beach down there. But this was not to be believed how far these cars were lined up, you know, going backwards from the harbor. And these people were all out, you know, looky-looing at these whales. And it was like, holy cow. I was stunned there was that many people. I was just stunned. I try to think, if you stuck it out and think how small really the parking area is in that harbor, and you have 1,000 million people trying to park or why, I don't know what they did. People wasted their life in that line. So I didn't. I feel better about that, but I miss seeing the whale. That's all. I'll see him on TV. All right, we're going to do Calcoast News Week in Review and talk about the things that are going on in our world. And one of the first things we want to mention here is, let me grit this up here for us, is the West virus, which is completely serious in other states and taking lives. And so they found a bird infected with West Nile virus here in San Luis Obispo. Here's what I don't know, and maybe I'm not a good citizen, and I need to find out if I'm just a yutz. If I found a dead bird, first, I wouldn't pick it up. I wouldn't really find a dead bird. If I saw a dead bird, I would not in a million years think to take it to somebody and say, you better find out what killed it. But this must be what somebody did. Yes?
Probably.
You know.
I saw a dead bird last weekend also. I was walking around Cambria, there or Cayucas, and there was one laying there on the sidewalk.
And dead?
Yeah.
And but, okay.
It wasn't napping.
We used to, you know, back years ago when I don't even know what it's called now. I forget. It was a Luna Red or I don't know what restaurant's in there now. It was Sebastian's, when it used to be Sebastian's.
Yeah.
Okay. So there was a lady that would come in, and they had to say, you can't come in anymore. We call her the bird lady. And she was she'd always have these rather tattered clothes on, but always well, you know, jewelry and a hat and the whole thing. But one time, she'd just sit there at the end of the bar and ask for a glass of water and just sort of sit there. And so nobody paid any attention, really. And the one time she came in and she reached into her bosom and pulled out a dead bird and put it on the bar. At which point, Kevin Kennedy, by the way, was the bartender then, and said, it's time for you to take the bird and go. You know, we can't have that here.
Who was the bartender?
Kevin Kennedy.
Okay.
And so he was going to Poly. So anyway, the West Nile virus thing, somehow somebody brought a bird into somebody and they found out it had West Nile virus. But it really is serious. And they had a thing I've mentioned on TV. Here they had this... this house that, you know, was in foreclosure and had been abandoned, and they had a pool full of water, a swimming pool of green, nasty water with mosquitoes all over it, and a woman in the neighborhood got bit and got West Nile virus. And she said that they have called, the neighbors have called every health agency, every law enforcement agency, the realtor, the bank, and said, could you empty this pool? And they go, well, it really wouldn't do that much good. It wouldn't. It would get rid of the dang skeeters. Now, here's the other thing, too, that I'm a little bit concerned about for San Luis Obispo. You know, our county mosquito abatement, if I'm not mistaken, our county mosquito abatement program was either cut back or cut off to save money here last year. So I don't know if we're in worse stead to get bit by bugs.
Well, the statewide, I was reading there's usually only 7 cases of West Nile virus a year. And this is the season when it happens. In the state of California, we've already had 33, and they say that this is going to be a very heavy year for West Nile. So we're just going into the season right now.
So here's what they say, and this is because somebody has to say something. Our county health officer said, it's important to protect yourself and your family from mosquito bites by eliminating mosquito habitat around your home, you know, standing water, avoiding mosquitoes, which, of course, we all try to do, but they catch up with us somewhere, and then wearing appropriate clothing with mosquito repellent is necessary. So, you know, we're very lucky on this coast, at least this area, to not have a lot of mosquitoes.
You know, I've lived in mosquito areas before. That's what's kind of surprising, where you get bit. If you go outside, you're going to get bit.
Yeah.
You know, in the evening. I just don't see us having a major mosquito problem. I've lived in Cincinnati. At nighttime, they would chase you.
No, I know. I know it. And I was in Texas. I got discharged from the Navy in Texas, and they had mosquitoes the size of hummingbirds down there. I've never seen anything like these. Welts were the biggest welts. They're like pancakes when you got bit by the skeeters down there. All right, so that's just one of the things. So be sensible and be cautious as best you can. But the big thing is, I think, is the standing water business around your home. And, you know, if you have planters outside or something that you're not using right now, a flower pot or whatever, and if it has water in it, it. Yeah, I mean, that's where they head.
And if you have a fish pond, all you have to do is throw some minnows in it. Minnows love the fish. You'll have actually less mosquitoes with a pond because that's where they lay the eggs. And then the minnows just love mosquito eggs.
Can you just get a minnow anywhere?
You can go to most of the fish stores have minnows. You can just get a thing of minnows, and they're very, very reasonable.
Okay. Get your minnows. Now, here's the deal. We have the 22,400 marijuana plants were seized near Nacimiento Lake. Here they were just bragging that we were having probably going to have a better year. You know, we weren't going to be as confiscating as much marijuana, they didn't think, in here in California. And holy cow. And here's the other thing. This is the second huge bust, because they had one either at the beginning of the week or last week, about the same size. And this is when it occurred to me, instead of just taxing marijuana, why doesn't the state sell it in a state store? I'm serious. If you go to Washington State, other states, you want to buy a bottle of booze, you have to go to a state store to buy the booze. They make the profit.
So the idea is just store it and sell it.
Well, yeah. Just say, here, you're going to buy it in a state store like you'd buy booze. And therefore, not only are you getting the money from the profit of it, you're also getting the tax money from it. And that's what these states do with the alcohol. I was surprised when I first went to Washington, because, you know, in California, first off, when I first came to California, I couldn't believe that Thrifties and all these things that were called drugstores sold, you know, beach balls and booze and everything in the whole wide world. I'd never seen that before, coming from the East. And so so then I went to Washington, and of course, because everything is available everywhere in California, go to Washington, and the state stores open certain hours, certain days, you know, the whole thing, and that's the only place you can get booze. You can buy beer, else, you know, in a supermarket, but you cannot buy alcohol.
I think it's the same way when I was back east recently. I was in Kentucky, and you could buy beer in the grocery stores, but if you wanted to buy wine, you had to go to an alcohol store.
Right. And, you know, in Washington, when I was, this is back in the 60s when I was in the service, but Washington State had blue laws, and nobody could sell alcohol on Sunday.
Oh, there's still a lot of places in Kentucky like that, too.
Yeah, they just can't sell it, so that's kind of amazing. All right, so that was my idea with the marijuana. As long as we're going to confiscate this stuff, instead of just throwing a big pile and burn it, why not say, okay, let's make, we've already screwed up on the casino thing, you know what I mean? For the state of California. We've totally made fools out of ourselves with that, so maybe we can come up with something else.
The Wallace issue is, I think.
I think it's time. That's where I was headed right next. I was going to let you open the show on that. So let's talk about Mr. Wallace and what's going on in South County.
Well, yeah, as many of you know, there was an investigation into a spill that occurred back in 2010. And for about a year before the spill occurred, several employees, there's only six employees at the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation Plant. It services Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano. Two of the employees prior to the spill had gone to government officials and asked to be whistleblowers and claimed that there was fraud going on at the plant and criminal acts in the administration of the plant. Davina Douglas, she was a tester at the time, claimed that she was being told to falsify sampling. They eventually paid her off to leave. They gave her $50,000 to leave the district. After they fired her, then they paid her off for, you know, she claimed they fired her illegally and she did get a payout. And she'd only been there a short time, very short time. Then you had, and they were claiming a number of things, that Wallace was funneling work to the Wallace Group rather than taking proper care of the plant. Then right in the midst of all this, in 2010 in December, you have the sewage spill of up to 3 million gallons into the ocean. The water board is being very conservative, claiming it's about 1.5, though they do say it could be more. And then the plant administrator, which is John Walls. Then you have the operator who ran the plant, Appleton, Jeff Appleton. Jeff Appleton then wrote emails that I have copies of saying, I have been asked to claim that this bill was an amount that it's not. I want to become whistleblower.
Do they have a way of actually, I mean, can they measure how much is spilled?
The typical way of measuring a spill, there's two things they look at. On a given day, if at this time in this area this amount of sewage is going through, that's a pretty good idea.
Oh, okay.
You know, if usually every day you have 7 million gallons, you're usually going to have 7 million gallons, but at 2 in the morning, there's usually very little going through. And they have these graphs. They can go back and check what usually goes through. And they don't think it's going to change a whole lot just because it's raining. Now, there's more liquid coming through during a storm. And by the amount that was going through there, there was over about 3 million gallons going through the plant. If you look at what was going through at the time, it broke down. Now, the state water board is going after the walls, going after the administrator and saying that there were some fraudulent actions there. But they can only do civil penalties. They're doing a civil penalty, and they've been considering going to the AG or the DA or the EPA for criminal actions, according to court documents. Meanwhile, an attorney hired by Wallace, which I think when this is all said and done, attorney bills for this thing are going to run over $1 million or close to $1 million. When trying to get this thrown out, she did a records request. And in her records request, there were two things. Basically trying to say, okay, you didn't give me all the records, and because you don't have a criminal case, you have to turn these records over. So they had a court hearing on Wednesday in Sacramento, last Wednesday. And at that court hearing, the sanitation district's attorney was trying to say this isn't criminal, they should have done it. And the reason this is substantial, if the judge had ruled, you're right, you should have given those over, they had already said they wanted 90 days to a fair trial. They could have said, hey, throw it out, we don't have time to review these documents then. And the case could have been dismissed because of this. And but instead, the judge says, well, these two packets are definitely okay, and I want to see the one packet. But he looked at it during a break he took. And right after looking at the documents, he came back and said that this could go to criminal prosecution.
This is a Superior Court Judge, Michael Kinney.
Yes. And meanwhile, I have also heard that there may also, there is a possibility of criminal charges against Mayor Tony Ferrara. There is a possibility of criminal charges against council member from Grover Beach, Bill Nichols. And not just Wallace. The other issue is, and this is in court documents, because the public, 40 homes flooded with sewage, because the public was harmed because of this, if it does come out in this trial that this was some fraudulent acts, the citizens can then not only just sue for the $1.4 million, sue Wallace Group and possibly public officials, they can also then sue Wallace Group for their flooding of their homes. So this could be a substantial loss to the Wallace Group Engineering, which is just, I mean, they make millions on public entities in this area. And what the Wallace Group is claiming, well, it was just, you know, it was a storm, it was an act of God type thing, things happened, not our fault. And if that is the case, they're not liable. The state's blaming it on three different things. First, and I've seen these documents, and I was writing about this actually before this bill, that this was happening. Wallace Group would do the engineering. And, for example, they did engineering to investigate the electrical system. They came back, oh, it needs to be fixed. And Wallace got the board to give $200,000 in 2004-05 budget year toward that. But instead of ever getting spent, it was budgeted, it was put in the budget for that year, but it wasn't spent on electrical. Most of the money that gets budgeted ends up getting spent on Wallace Group and engineering, but then the work doesn't get done that's engineered because Wallace Group doesn't do the work. So it was never done. And then in 06, the administrator said, hey, wait a minute, we're even having problems with the lights working in this area, in the pump building, because of the electric is so bad. 2 years later, Wallace Group again gets paid to engineer and decide that the electrical system is bad. And again, this year he budgets, in I think 2009-10, he budgeted $500,000 to do the engineering or do the electrical. But the electrical was never done. The money that was budgeted was all spent. None was spent on the electric. And meanwhile, every time he does this, they just spend almost exactly what they budgeted for that year, even though they don't do the capital improvements. And then very often they'll they'll go ahead and take about $1 million out of their reserve fund, which legally can only be spent for capital improvements, which is actually a misdemeanor in California government code to take that money out. That was one cause, according to the state, that caused this spill. The second cause, according to state regulators, that caused this spill was that Wallace Group paid themselves to engineer grading. They regraded the plant, but instead of grading to where the grading where the water flowed away, they actually graded it so it all flowed into the pump room. So the pump room became the lowest spot on of the plant. They say that was a major cause of the problems also. The third, you had the grading, and then there was a third issue. Wallace Group had to buy a pump. And when they went to buy the pump, an emergency pump if there was a problem, they were told they needed at least a million-gallon pump to take out 1 million gallons. And instead, Wallace bought a $500,000 rehab pump. There were emails out there that tell him, this pump isn't any good. It's been broken and fixed. It isn't the right size. And he decided it was a good deal. He was going to buy that pump. Within 5 minutes of the spill, the pump broke. The state regulators are saying those three issues caused the plant. Now, some of the issues that the whistleblowers brought up, for example, they said that they were spending money engineering. This is something that our local group here that said things weren't good?
At the plant?
No, yeah, they put a report out. I can't think of the name of the group. It's a group that people report things to, and then they come back out and they say, hey, things aren't being run correctly.
Grand jury?
Yes, the grand jury here found this, and this is one of the issues. Engineering shouldn't run very much. It should be about 15% of a project. It shouldn't be 80-90% of a project. The engineering should never be the major cost. And these things, engineering was very often the high cost. And some of the things that were engineered that employees at the plant had, one of the things that they were whistleblowing, they were saying there's misspending because Wallace is administrating. For example, when they have these two big giant containers, and one of them's for chlorine. They're big, big containers, and one of them was for another chemical. And when they used to get old, an employee would just order a new one. Not this time. Well, the employees ordered one, and Wallace said, no, those have to be engineered first. Well, it's like a tire. You use a size 14. You buy it from the same place. They ended up spending more money having Wallace Group engineer and buy the same darn thing they already had. But the engineering cost for them to determine that they needed that same container again. And these were complaints that the employees were making, that the money was not being used correctly. It was being used to pad the pockets of Wallace Group.
So now where does this go from here?
There is going to be a trial on September 7th. The Water Board, there are several, they want people to come in and talk. If you're a homeowner and your house flooded with sewage and you think that Wallace Group is responsible, they want you to come in and tell during the hearing. You can speak during the hearing. If you can't go, you can send a letter before the hearing. I think it has to be there 2 or 3 days before to the Water Board here in Arrow Vista and say how you felt, how this harmed you, how you feel about the $1.4 million fine. And after the civil penalties, then the Water Board investigators can take their investigation documents to either the AG, the DA, or the EPA for criminal prosecution.
Wow. Can I say this before we take a break, too?
Yeah.
You know, God may have turned people into pillars of salt and whatnot. You know, I mean, he's done some kind of crazy stuff, but he wouldn't put sewage into somebody's home. That's not an act of God at all. He's not like that.
Dutchman Seafood House on the Morro Bay Embarcadero has been totally remodeled. There's a new look throughout the restaurant, including a great bar area with plenty of room for you to hang. What I like the best is what the Dutchman's new farm-to-table chef has created, a new menu that features fresh seafood. It starts with hand-selected fish delivered right to our dock and served within hours of being pulled from the ocean. It's the only way to eat. At Dutchman Seafood House, you'll enjoy waterfront dining, creative cocktails, a nice selection of reasonably priced wines, and a tempting variety of entrees featuring seafood, poultry, beef, salads, and award-winning clam chowder that's guaranteed to satisfy your hunger. When you walk in the Dutchman, you'll find an inviting bar where weekdays we offer special happy hour pricing from 3 to 6. formerly known as the Flying Dutchman. You'll find the newly remodeled Dutchman Seafood House on the Morro Bay waterfront near Pacific Street at 701 Embarcadero.
Hello, Bill Senna's Insurance Services. How may I help you?
My mother-in-law just moved in, and I think she slipped a cog in her wheel, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she's 89 years old and still insists on driving her car, cooks and leaves the oven on, and her medical bills are through the roof. Can you help?
Of course we can help. Bill Senna's Insurance is a full-service insurance agency and has been in business for over 20 years, offering top insurance carriers, giving you only the best protection for the whole family. Medical, dental, home, auto, business, long-term care, life insurance, and even Medicare prescription drug plans for your mother-in-law.
So you're a one-stop shop for all my insurance needs?
Yes, we are. Bill Senna's Insurance gives you peace of mind.
So we're covered if she burns the house down?
Absolutely. And Bill Senna's Insurance Service never charges a fee for our service. And we'll find the right policy for you.
Good. Because I want to live life large and fully charged.
Bill Senna's Insurance is on East Grand Avenue in Dollar Store Center in Arroyo Grande. Or call 489-HELP. That's 489-HELP.
CalCoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
CalCoast News, week in review, and we're talking about all things that are going on. We both decided on during the break that, and we had a sewage and a spill in our house, we'd sell the house right away.
I do want to bring up the thing about Wallace and the people that are affiliated with this. They are tied to so many of our government entities throughout this county. They do work for SLO. He runs the Avila sanitation plant. He is involved in the Los Osos sewer issue. He is involved in the Morro Bay Cayuca sewer issue. He used to run, I think, the plant up in San Simeon, but I think that they at some point got rid of him. And the attorneys that work with him, John Seitz. And so you have a group of people that are tied to so many government entities, and if this is going on in other areas, they do a ton of work for Rio Grande, a ton of work. And the interesting thing is you've got Mayor Tony Ferrara's wife, they're now divorced, she was a controller for Wallace Group, and both Rio Grande and the sanitation district pay Wallace Group a massive amount of money every year. For, again, the sanitation district does $50,000 to $80,000 a month in engineering costs. And to give you an idea that is a little bit on the high side, I looked at Paso Robles. It's a similar size sanitation plant of similar age. Now, they're in the process right now of redoing it, which this one needed to be redone, but it's capital improvement money. It's just about gone for Southsac County. But Paso Robles was running a plant about the same age, about the same amount of people. They had an administrator who was an engineer running it. They paid him $100,000 a year, approximately. And they spent $10,000, $20,000 a year on engineering, outside engineering services. So the difference is pretty significant. Right. When you're talking close to $1 million and then you're talking...
Well, now here, I don't know if this is going to explain, you're going to tell me right now if this explains something or not. Do people who are on the board of the sanitation district, are they paid?
No, which is, the three people on the board are a representative from Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano. And the person from Oceano generally objects. The other two just say yes to everything Wallace asks. You go to these meetings, and people are not on a board to say everything's perfect, our staff is wonderful, everyone is, we just love them. And whenever Wallace wants to do something, they say yes. And Tony Ferrara was on that board both times they charged for the electrical. Tony Ferrara and Bill Nichols have been on that board while they do things. For example, he will break a project off legally. He has to take it out for bid. They don't take it out to bid. They give it to the Wallace Group because he breaks it into chunks, which is also, according to California state law, a misdemeanor. And he'll charge $6,500, $6,800, $6,500. And they'll just keep approving it, but it's the same job.
So they can, if it's under a certain amount of money, they don't have to go out to bid.
By state law, if it's over a certain amount, you have to bid it out. So it's very interesting that the board members have done this, and I see this, and I don't know if again, I know that they're being looked at, and there's a possibility of criminal actions against them, and they don't do criminal actions just because you're inept. if you're inept and you're not doing a good job. And I've noticed this several times in government. And in fact, and I'm not going to give names, but you can look at the city of SLO. You have several elected officials, council people in SLO, that all they ever do, oh, staff is wonderful, everything is perfect, and they say yes to everything that they ask. And you'll read, you know, they make statements and they write magazine articles, and, oh, we just love the staff. You know, and that's not their job. Their job is to question staff. Their job is to be the board, to make decisions, and not just to say yes to every staff report that comes across their desk.
Wow. Okay, we'll see what happens with this. This is a huge thing. The reason I asked about the money thing was is people seem to clamor to be on these sanitation boards, and I don't districts, and I don't really see what why. I just soon stay home, watch the football game. But that's what they do.
Board meetings are not that exciting. It's, you know, we need money for this, we need money for that. They're usually not. I do find it, they're not that exciting, but I do find it interesting that they're probably going to pay about the same amount into legal fees as they're going to be paying for a fine, if they are made to pay the fine in the long run.
All right. I think another huge story this week really was the on Tuesday, the Board of Supervisors turning away Acceleron from drilling in the Wasna Valley.
Yeah, and you know, one of the interesting things, and if anyone wants to take a look, read the EIR report and then read the staff report. They do not gel. And because of that, I think that they had a meeting back, I think, March or April, and several people said, hey, if you vote on this with this staff report, you could end up getting sued, and that the people that own the mineral rights could sue them. And it absolutely doesn't gel. I know I have a friend, Joan O'Keefe, who is very, very environmental, and she truly lives it. You know, I don't think I've ever, you know, she does it on her own. She doesn't usually tell her people what to do, but she, you know, drives an electric bike to go to the grocery store sometimes, you know, dry brushes her teeth, just really is environmentally correct. And she took a look at the EIR and read the staff report after we talked one day, and she called me up and she said, I think this is the cleanest project I've seen. Water for oil is less than water for grapes. And person after person got up and said the water issue. Fires. The refineries start the fires. Certain things start the fires. You don't see fire started from this. And, a fire out there would be bad. Let's say somebody throws a cigarette into the grass. It would be bad. Are we going to stop everything out in that area because of fire use? They also decided to put a big well up. I do see that this, in the long run, could end up coming back and causing issues. This was on the backside of the county. This was not going to be trucks driving across county roads. This was going right outside the backside of Wasna. I think they were going to be on the road in this county for about a mile. So a lot of the information that came out, fracking, you don't frack that kind of land. Fracking wasn't even a consideration. Oh, they're going to sneak in and frack. They don't need to frack. It would be like, you know, it doesn't even make sense. The arguments did not make sense.
Here's the problem. I don't think that legitimately you can use the argument of you're screwing up the ambiance of this valley. You know, I don't think you can use that as an argument. And yet I think in the people's hearts and minds, that's how they feel. You know, is who wants oil wells in this valley? I mean, I know people who live in the Wasna Valley. I haven't really talked to them about this project, but I can imagine that they'd say, I don't want this here.
And about a lot of them do want it there, and a lot of them have actually sold their mineral rights to other. They know it's sweet crude, and this is the other thing. Oh, it's sludge. No, this is expected to be sweet crude. If it's sludge, these people are going to not. They're going to be very disappointed. They're not going down there for sludge. They're not going down there for what. That's why I'm saying the information out here was completely incorrect, and all you got to do is read the EIR and look at it.
Well, so now the question I had when I was reading this on Calcos News is that, you know, Acceleron, the Carol Florence, the planner for Acceleron, you know, they said to her, what are you going to do now? Are you going to try to revamp this thing in some way? And she said, well, we haven't decided yet what to do with that. This took 5 years to get to the point of no. So I don't know. I don't know that Acceleron would really say, well, we'll go back in with something else. What could they go back in with that the Board of Supervisors would approve?
And, you know, the interesting thing is when they go, just to give you an example, when they go into another area, For example, I think there's wells in Sacramento. They just found oil somewhere over by Harris Ranch. And when they go into those areas, it's generally about 2 weeks for approval. 2 weeks.
Really?
And, oh, yeah. So they...
Well, it's, you know, it's Harris. It's over there in the Funny Valley there, you know.
Yeah, there was a... Yeah, I was...
figure anybody's willing to drill through that much cow manure, you know, go after.
Well, you know, they know there's oil here. They know there's oil. This isn't the same thing. But when I, some of these, for example, the one over by Harris Ranch, it was a guess. And it was a 1 in 4, 1 in 5 chance, is there going to be oil down? And they drilled about 8,000 feet down, which is about a mile and a half or mile
right,
point
right,
four.
Right.
And they found oil. So, they do.
Well, now let me ask you this question. So this was all going to take place on a given piece of property.
Yes.
Okay. Are those the people who are going to benefit from the mineral rights?
What they do is they make a contract, and this is actually the oil company has worked on this for probably closer to 7 years than five, because in the beginning they were talking with the property owner and making arrangements. The property owner gets something, and then the oil company who puts the money into it. And again, you don't always get when they drill, they don't always get what they're hoping to get. I think out there they pretty well know it. But, yeah, this was on the Mankins Ranch. But, again, it's on the very back side. This is existing oil wells. I grew up in this area. I remember going to the grocery store, and they had an oil well right there in the parking lot that was dressed up like a grasshopper. And I used to like, because I was a kid, I thought it was cute. You know, do you remember, were you here in those days when they dressed them?
I remember when they had grasshopper oil wells. Because down south they had some, too. They did the same thing. It's interesting. Well, of course, we know they have oil here. I mean, obviously we have, on the way to Avila there, we got that huge operation that goes on the way to Pismo, I mean.
But it's the fear. I mean, that the, for example, I'm trying to think of his name. Bob Fowler has gotten the contract to rehab the pier in Morro Bay. They have a fishing pier there, and it's got to be kept as a fishing pier, and it's deteriorating. So he is trying to rehab the pier and make it back into a real active fishing pier and bring in some, it'll be commercial and private fishing and also, public fishing boats and really try to enhance the area for tourism and this type of thing. He's doing it as a business venture. But I'm getting emails from people saying, we heard he's putting the pier together because it's going to help him with his offshore oil interests. You know, you don't need a pier to do offshore oil. And there's rules against offshore oil in this area anyway. They're not going to be putting it over by Los Osos. It's not allowed here anyway. But it's very interesting. I've had a number of emails from people saying he has to be stopped. He's trying to put that pier in so he can drill for offshore oil, and it's
kind of bogus.
It's obvious. I mean, you don't put a pier in so you can go for offshore oil. That's just silly.
Let me go backwards, but this we'll revisit this in the future when we were talking about the Wallace Group and other interests that he had around the area, and you mentioned Avila having a sanitation plant in Avila.
Yeah.
And that's going to become a bone of contention down the road also with this Wild Cherry Canyon property that Diablo gave up, and because that thing's dead in the middle of it.
Well, no, I checked on that. That's not the Avila sanitation plant. That's a private sanitation plant for the housing development there.
Oh, okay.
And they do have a contract, and that's going to be fine.
Okay.
I think Sara Rizzo, Lisa Rizzo, does some writing for Calcoast News. He's on the board. They looked into it. And I talked to several of the people that are involved, and no, they're contracted. They're going to be fine.
So do they, like, just put up a fence and say, they probably have a fence around it anyway, but do they just, that's all they really need, right?
I would think so, and I think it's an existing, they have a contract that it's going to stay out there with the house, as I've been told.
Okay.
That it's not a bone of contention at all.
I'm glad to hear that. Little birdies told me maybe otherwise, but I'm glad you looked into it.
I looked into it quite a bit.
All right. Now, let's talk about other things going on. We have the Los Osos daycare closed amid a child abuse probe. This whole thing's sort of cattywampus, they apparently were on the verge of going bankrupt, I guess, from what I can read, they're on the verge of going bankrupt, and then all of a sudden there's these accusations that two children have been slapped. And so then they said, well, now nobody wants to bring their kid here because we beat them, and so we're going to close the doors.
And I hadn't heard the bankrupt part, and the odd thing was, when it was first reported, it was told it was reported by the director, but it was actually she's the one accused of hitting the children. So it is the director that they say...
She read it on herself.
Well, someone else said they saw her, and then the parents, I guess, said the child had bruising.
So this wasn't minor. This wasn't a little minor type of thing. This was not good. Anyway, so, and this was at least from the county, right?
Yes,
it's Old Sunnyside School.
Yes.
Yeah, so it was leased to the county anyway, by the county, from the county. Now we'll see what happens with this, because obviously there'll be a criminal probe into this thing, and then there's also whatever this financial fall apart is on this thing. It's one of those things where, and this may sound like no big deal, but I don't know how, what kind of contracts they have with the parents that had their kids go there. But it's one of those things where you're out of luck because somebody's filed bankruptcy. Whether you, let's say you said, okay, I'm going to sign up for a whole year and it's going to cost me $10,000. You know, once somebody declares bankruptcy, tough noogies.
Well, they usually pay weekly.
They do?
Yeah, weekly. Yeah, you don't pay a year ahead of time for daycare. Or monthly, but they don't pay.
I didn't know. I didn't know with this kind of daycare. I didn't know what they did.
Schools, you often, you know, this is a daycare for even infants. Schools, you often pay ahead of time, but not usually daycares. Okay. So I don't think that parents are out of a lot of money.
A lot of money. Okay. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. All right. What else you want to bring up today? Let's see. We got a lot of stuff. Well, we got two situations. We have the former Cal Poly assistant coach. That's being charged with two batteries, and a battery against one person, but two charges stemming from Harry's Bar. And then you have the fireman, as it was a fireman, right, that was in Pappy McGregor's or whatever it was called.
And, you know, the interesting thing about the fire, it is a very different. The one man was immediately arrested. He's been charged with two felonies. He's already charged with the firefighter. This has gone on for a very long time. I think the case is finally going to come to fruition next month. But they actually, at one point, were going to drop it.
Well, here's the only thing that I tell me where I'm wrong on this, because you can tell me. You have, obviously, how many witnesses at Harry's Bar to see somebody whack a guy over the head with a beer bottle? When you have an altercation in a men's room that involves two people, does it not become he said, he said?
But the difference is one gentleman didn't have a scratch, the other guy's unconscious and had four metal plates put in his head. If you go to Cal Coast News, look at the picture of Jory Brigham.
I see the picture, yeah.
You can at first he was saying he just pushed him. Now, I'm sorry, this man's face is, broken bones throughout the face. It, black eyes, he was pretty injured, and the other man didn't have a scratch. So that's, a little odd to think it's an equal fight.
Well, no, and here's the other thing, too, now with that. I mean, there is a thing that you can, people feel like, well, I get in a fight, it's self-defense, I do whatever I do. That's not necessarily true. There can be a, quote, excessive force, not by the police against civilians, but against civilians, which is obviously what this entails. So this person was either kicked in the face repeatedly or he was punched in the face repeatedly when he's unconscious.
And the other thing is fireman John Ryan Mason has a history of this. There was a wedding in Los Osos where he allegedly hit another man, Al, what's his last name?
He owns the septic tank guy.
The septic tank guy, and hit Al Beavers.
Al Beavers.
And knocked him out, and he had to have his jaw was broken also, and he had to go to the hospital and also have his jaw fixed. Then after this incident, he had an altercation at MOTAV. So this is a gentleman that has a history of this going on. But one of the interesting things, I spoke to Jory Brigham probably about 8 months ago or longer, and Jory told me that District Attorney Karen Gray had told him that she was looking at dropping the case because, you know, John Ryan Mason is an upstanding fireman. He looks upstanding. People respect firemen. And Jory Brigham's kind of got long hair, and you don't look quite as respectable. And it ended up, they were looking at dropping it, and then they decided not to. But the idea was, hey, we may not win this, so let's not go after it. You know, and the complaint is, should it matter if you're a fireman? You know, should you have a different level of guilt if you're a fireman?
The guy who shot 77 people in Sweden looks fine. You know what I mean? I mean, that's not a criteria whatsoever, as far as I'm concerned. You know, that doesn't seem to make sense. Although I will say this, when you in general, when you see news stories about people that have committed murders and crimes and all this other stuff, they tend to be dicey looking kind of folk. But this is a case where you have a fireman that apparently has a temper of some, you know, of some magnitude, and maybe he's just tired of making so much money. He's upset. I don't know what it is. We had one last thing here we can get to. We had the lead found in the Red Vine black licorice. So let's make sure you understand. It's called Red Vine, but it's their black licorice, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So don't worry about the red stuff. The red stuff's okay. And you can enjoy the ad with Holiday Road in the background. But the black stuff had what in it? Lead.
Lead to a level where they even wanted pregnant women and children that had eaten it to talk to their doctors and discuss getting tested. So this is, I think, a fairly substantial amount of lead. And I love black licorice.
I
think
really,
that's one of my favorite candies.
This is very strange because it's one of these things that, you know, you say to yourself, how little do I know about? Why would there even be lead in licorice? Is it a part of the manufacturing process? I don't understand why there's lead in licorice.
I wouldn't know it. It doesn't make any sense, does it?
No, not to me it doesn't, but I don't make licorice, but it doesn't seem to me to be something. I mean, they don't use lead utensils or pots or, you know, thingies. I don't know why there would be lead in there, so that's kind of very strange to me.
It's nice that they check, though. You know, it's nice that foods are checked and tested. We've had an awful lot of be careful in the last month. You know, and I read one interesting article. It said one of the local medias here put something out saying, don't worry, no one's gotten sick so far. Well, the reason they do this, when they find a batch of food has been contaminated, they tell people not to eat it. And very often when they can stop people because of a test. But I don't think just because no one's gotten sick, don't worry, just go ahead with what you're doing, is a real...
I don't think so either. I would all of a sudden be really worried about wild pig poop if I all of a sudden found out my lettuce was contaminated. So anyway, that's our Friday edition of CalcoastNews.com. Don't forget, you can go on the website anytime, and there's news stories that come up all day long. And you can go to the upper right-hand corner, click on Talk is Cheap. You'll find podcasts of Karen and I, and also of KYMS. And also you can listen to live streaming. And we thank you for being here, Karen.
Thank you.
All right.
CBS News. I'm Gary Nahn. A confusing, bloody chain of events around New York City's Empire State Building during the morning rush hour.
We heard a dozen shots. No one actually even knew where the shots was coming from. We were just running.
A man let go earlier from his job, killed a former co-worker, then turned his gun on two cops outside.
He killed one person, and at least nine other people were shot, and some may have been shot accidentally by police officers who responded immediately, and while confronting the suspect and fatally shooting him.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg rules out any connection to terrorism. Mexican officials are now saying two American police instructors were accidentally shot and wounded today by Mexican police, both men mistaken for criminals. Mexican federal police thought the vehicle carrying the Americans belonged to a group of suspected kidnappers they were chasing and sprayed the vehicle with gunfire. It's now official. Cyclist Lance Armstrong, stripped of all of his Tour de France titles, has been banned from cycling. Earlier, Armstrong said he was giving up fighting the charges by the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency that he took part in a massive doping conspiracy over a 13-year period. Peter Flax, editor-in-chief of Bicycling Magazine.
They have testimony from many of Lance's longtime teammates, and this is the first time in return for preferential treatment or immunity they detail doping activities that they participated in and witnessed on the team that Lance won all of his Tours de France on.
Armstrong denies doping and feels USADA was on a witch hunt against him. Tropical storm Isaac, taking a powerful swipe now at Haiti and the Dominican Republic, expected to veer toward the U.S. Gulf Coast next week, reviving memories of what happened in the summer of 2005.
Next week marks 7 years ago that the National Hurricane Center shifted the path of a storm forecasters had been saying would hit Florida and said it was heading for New Orleans instead. That was Katrina, and with the Hurricane Center's Isaac cone of error now including Louisiana, planners here are taking action.
We're watching, making sure our plan is ready. Our citizens ought to be doing the same thing.
Said New Orleans Homeland Security Chief Jerry Sneed, and meteorologist Laura Bucktel says,
know what's going on with Isaac because we could be looking at hurricane force winds on our coastline by Wednesday next week.
Dave Cohen for CBS News, New Orleans.
Some oil companies have begun evacuating oil rigs in the Gulf in advance of Isaac. The Ponderosa fire southeast of Redding, California, has burned more than 44 square miles of piney hills, according to CAL FIRE spokesman John Dominguez.
Crews on the fire line have made great success in upping the containment on the fire. It was 68% containment.
900 homes still threatened, but full containment is expected sometime next week. Gasoline on track to hit its highest price ever for Labor Day. The AAA says the pump price now at $3.73 nationwide is up 2 cents since yesterday. Wall Street just at the close. The Dow Industrial's up 100 points. This is CBS News.
I'm a mid-sized business.
One of the engines of a smarter planet.
I want to run my business in the cloud.
Who can I trust?
A bookstore?
A search site?
I need a partner with experience.
To manage my infrastructure.
And help keep my data secure.
Introducing IBM Smart Cloud, starting at $56 per month. Learn why IBM is the smarter choice for cloud at IBM.com/engines/cloud. Price subject to change.
Look out in the street there. You know what you don't see? My car. Because I had to sell it to pay the lawyer I hired when I got busted for drunk driving. Know what else you don't see? My girlfriend, who decided that a guy with no car and no license and no money was no fun.
Cops are out there cracking down on drunk driving all across the country. And they'll see you before you see them. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
The world's top disabled athletes are getting ready to compete in the Paralympics in London.
The Paralympic cauldron being lit by a partially paralyzed British marathon runner. The Paralympics feature the world's top disabled athletes, British Prime Minister David Cameron.
Not people who are born with something less, but people who are born with something extra. Extra steel, extra determination, extra willpower. And extra belief.
The games start Monday. Nearly 2.5 million tickets have been sold. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
More money in your pocket. Income still below where they were before the recession. Struggling. Senior Ascentia Research says that median household incomes before deductions and adjusted for inflation 2.2% higher over last year. Most of the overall improvement was made late last year. Fourth month in five, orders to U.S. factories for things made to last a long time fell again in July. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
Geico presents a thank you letter from your motorcycle.
Hi, you dear guy that sits on me. I just wanted to say thanks. Ever since you saved money on your motorcycle insurance with Geico, we've been going out a lot more. The beach, the mountains, that curvy road that leads to the diner with the milkshakes you love. Look, the point is, you and me, we've become a biker buds. And I like it. I like it a lot.
Geico could help you save on your motorcycle insurance. And that should make you and your bike very happy.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
Ever smell coffee beans roasting?
You probably will when you start buying your bags of coffee at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. Slow Roasted Coffee is expanding their own in-house store, which will feature, you guessed it, coffee and accessories. They're open weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. And there's always a few free coffees for you to sample. Catch this. You'll save money with the new Slow Roasted Coffee Coin Club. Here's how it works. After each coffee purchase, they'll stamp your coin, and your 10th pound will be free. Of course, your local grocery stores still carry Slow Roasted Coffee, but now you can shop directly at their warehouse. That's right. Walk in the door, and you might smell the beans a-roastin'. You'll find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Now in their third decade, Slow Roasted Coffee is truly a Central Coast tradition. Mmm, that tastes great.
How does a little shoe store like Mike's and the Slow Promenade seem so big? They start by taking assortment to a new level. Not just any assortment, but the brands people really want and the styles people really love. Mike, Annie, Shushun, and their entire crew at Mike's really know their stuff, and they're happy to make it work for you. The right people in the right place all the time. You'll like Mike's and find what you're looking for in men's and women's shoes. Every time you hear this ad, you're just one pair away from the perfect number of shoes. Mike's Shoes at Southside Promenade.
We are, we you.
originally done in 1968 by Young Holt Orchestra. That's a soulful strut, this time by Grover Washington Jr. Hi, you're Bill Benninger. Business Talk is Cheap Friends and Neighbors Network on 1340 KYNS, your news station. Thanks for joining me today. Friday, it's feeling good, So I have some things to share with you, Bill, because of Friday. I got a call from Pandora, and she said there's still tickets available for Chris Stewart and Janet Beasley, so I invite you to join Nancy and I as we go and enjoy this wonderful concert at the Botanical Garden, and that'll be this Sunday. There's a free docent-led tour at 2:30, and then the doors open at 3:30. The show starts at 4. So I would get out there if I were you, and get out there and get a ticket. The website's the best place to go to, and it makes life easiest. So you go to slobc.org and the Slow Botanical Garden, and you get yourself a ticket. All right, because they can do it for will call. One. All right. What else? Oh, I know what I'm talking about. The Sirens are going to be the Sirens tomorrow, and they're going to siren here in San Luis Obispo at 12 noon and 12:30 p.m. For those of us that are going to be the air show in Santa Maria, we may not hear them. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure we won't. But I just want to let you know that you know that's what's going on with that. All right. I can't get over how pretty this postcard is. So the phone books we get these days. Okay. So much. So let's do this story first, I guess. This is the Ridiculist, and this is just so completely ridiculous, it belongs on the Ridiculist.
Tonight we're adding a diploma drama at a high school in Oklahoma. The valedictorian of Prague High School, class of 2012, is a young woman named Caitlin. She's an extraordinary student by all accounts, especially the accounts coming from her dad, who is understandably proud.
She was in every curricular activity. She's been with the Kiwanis, with the banks, on the bank boards. I mean, she just, if there's anything to do, she does it. Just excelled beyond anything I would ever expect of her being my child.
So Caitlin excelled in school, was in all those activities, even on the bank boards, whatever that is. She's running the banks, apparently. She became valedictorian of her class, and then she gave her speech at graduation, and that's when all heck broke loose. During the speech, she said something that was so shocking, so wildly inappropriate, that now the school won't give her her diploma.
Went to the office and asked for the diploma, and he said, your diploma's right here, but you ain't getting it. Close the door, we got a problem. She earned that diploma. She did all the state curriculum. It's 4 years of straight A's in 4.0s the whole way through.
So what could Caitlin possibly have said during that commencement speech that was so offensive? Well, it is just too appalling. I'm going to let Caitlin tell you herself.
You know, they're going to ask us what we want to be, and we're going to say, who the hell knows? That's it.
Yeah. She beat everyone over the head with the HE double hockey sticks. And now they won't let her have her diploma unless she apologizes for dropping the old H-bomb. Not the F-bomb, not the S-bomb, the H-bomb. Now, you may be wondering, why doesn't she just write the gosh dang letter of apology?
I don't want to because I'm not sorry. So writing an apology letter, that's just going to be a lie. Which if they're saying that my cursing was sinning, that would be another sin. So don't want to have two sins on my hands.
I hate it when these kids have principles. School officials say it is a confidential matter. They aren't publicly commenting, but come on. Clearly, the word hell is inappropriate to any high school, but especially Prague High School. The devil. Now, that's a different story. Oh, yeah, did I neglect to mention that the school mascot is the devil? Beelzebub, Lucifer, the horned beast, Satan? No, it's true. You just saw it. They're called the devils. But sure, the devil, he's just a denizen of hell. That's a fine line, I know. Caitlin has started her freshman year at Southwestern Oklahoma State University. By the way, she's on a full scholarship. She's already moved into her freshman dorm, so luckily, she is now safely ensconced in the collegiate environment where people never, ever use four-letter words. She's majoring in marine biology for now.
Who the hell knows? I may change 5 more times.
She said it again! These kids today with their perfect grades and their text messaging and their extremely mild cursing. If this is our future, then nobody's getting diplomas because we're all going to hell in a handbasket. Don't. I said it too.
The world gone mad. That's all I can tell you. World gone mad. It's just absolute craziness sometimes. All right. So luckily she's where she belongs and in college and everything's fine. things that happen. Let's see. We can do this story. We've heard it all by now. This was the NYPD gunman and what happened with that. And we know that there was two people killed, the gunman and his victim, and then other people were wounded, but it appears that that could have been caused by police bullets.
In front of 10 West 33rd Street, a disgruntled former employee of a company at that address shot and killed a former co-worker, striking him three times. The subject, Jeffrey Johnson, age 53, then fled eastbound on West 33rd Street to 5th Avenue when he walked northbound along the curb line with a .45 caliber handgun secreted in a black bag that he had under his arm. A construction worker who had followed Johnson from West 33rd Street alerted two uniformed police officers who were on post in front of the Empire State Building's 5th Avenue entrance as part of our counterterrorism coverage. As the two officers approached Johnson, he pulled his .45 caliber semi-automatic pistol from his bag and fired on the officers, who returned fire, killing him. Johnson had been employed for 6 years at Hazan Imports, H-A-Z-A-N Imports, as a designer of women's accessories. During a downsizing at the company about a year ago, Johnson was laid off. In a dispute with one of the former employees of Hazan in front of the building, Johnson produced the pistol and fired at close range, striking his 41-year-old victim in the head.
Some may have been shot accidentally by police officers who responded immediately, and while confronting the suspect and fatally shooting him, unfortunately, there may have been other victims as well. There's speculation that that's what happened. But we do know that we have on tape the perpetrator pulled his gun out and tried to shoot at the cops, whether he got off any bullets or not, to be determined. How many he shot earlier, to be determined. We do know that the cops fired back. The tape clearly shows the guy has the gun out and is trying to kill the police officers.
Amazing. Absolutely. And when will it ever end? I guess we all ask ourselves. Now, here was one more thing I wanted to share with you today because, you know, Hurricane Isaac may be headed for the Florida, but the strippers are getting ready for the Republican National Convention.
Low-cost electricity from coal needs to play in our nation's economy, both now and in the future. Visit americaspower.org today. Clean coal. Now's the time.
My club is called the Mons Venus. Most people, when they walk away, they think it's the best club they've ever been in.
Good one.
We expect a lot of people to be here for the RNC, and could be one of our best weeks that we've ever had, the way people talk about it.
We estimated that there will be 90,000 room nights booked as a result of this. The magnitude of this, given the dynamic of where the country is, where the economy is, where our politics are, it is significantly larger and more complicated and more complex and has way more moving parts than the Super Bowls.
It's been a lot different than it was 10 years ago. Of course, economy has decreased, so business tends to decrease. It's been okay.
Enough all that. Anyway, that's they're getting ready for the, those Republicans love them strip clubs. I have no idea. I guess, man, my goodness. Anyway, so there's that's what's going on with that. I'm just sharing what I got today because I got a lot of weird stuff going on. Okay. Oh, I got another weird story to share with you, but I'll wait a little bit. And that was Monica Fox, by the way, who was going to speak. Of course it was. What other name would she use? All right, other things happening. Jeff Bridges sung his heart out like crazy. Anyway, he did a nice job at Slow Brew, apparently, and I would have liked to have seen it. Oh, my gosh, have you heard this story? Have you heard this? Have you seen? Oh, my gosh. An elderly woman this week claimed responsibility for disfiguring a century-old fresco of Jesus crowned with thorns in a Roman Catholic church in Spain. The woman, Cecilia Jimenez, who was in her 80s, said on Spanish national television she had tried to restore the fresco because she was upset that parts of it had flaked off as a result of moisture on the church's walls. Now, the part that had flaked off was a little bit of the right-hand side of the head, and then at the very bottom. She turned them into Grover from the Muppets, is basically what she did. She kind of redid the whole painting, and she ended up with Grover. And it's the most pathetic thing I've ever seen. And so it's just so sad. It's just, and here she was trying to do a good thing, and she made Jesus into Grover. So I'm not, I don't know what to say. I feel bad for her, I think. I feel bad for the painting. Anyway, somebody donated it to the church. You know, probably worth the fortunes. All right. Avoid eating shellfish from Ventura area, warns officials, because there's some kind of badness in the species and everything. And so be careful. It has domoic acid, a naturally occurring toxin that can cause illness or death in humans, though none has been reported this year. Poisoning symptoms such as vomiting or diarrhea can occur within 30 minutes to 24 hours of eating toxic seafood and some salads I've had at some restaurants. So I would just stay away from it, right, Logan. First lady's going to appear on the Dr. Oz show, and then she's also going to be on Rachel Ray's show, and that'll be September 17th. A list of celebrities has joined a telethon to raise money and awareness to fight cancer. Gwyneth Paltrow, Julia Roberts, Matt Damon, Samuel Jackson, and Emma Stone are among the stars participating in the Stand Up Cancer Telethon, organization announced Wednesday. Paltrow also is an executive producer for the fundraiser that will be carried commercial-free from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, September 7th, on four major broadcast networks, ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC, more than a dozen cable channels. Musical performances by Taylor Swift, Coldplay, Alicia Keys, and Tim McGraw are planned. So there's all kinds of great stuff going on. And hopefully we'll someday find the great cure for cancer, which is the whole point, I guess. And they had a story today, and I mentioned this only because it was kind of it's the British, you know, the British do not have, you know, they have the stiff upper lip and all that, but the British do not have the weird problems that we have with sexuality and stuff, you know, this, I don't know how this country got so poisoned, but, you know, where everything's wrong and everything's embarrassing and everything's this and that. The English are just very upfront about the whole, like, who cares, you know what I mean? It's not like we invented it. So, and that's really their attitude. And having known somebody that's English, a couple of people in English, you know, that's the, it's very much so what. So the Prince Harry thing has become in England, so what, you know, so what. He's a young, wild, and crazy guy, and he goes and does young, wild, and crazy things. So it's like, so what? That's how they really feel. So what? So what? So what? So what? And. All right, before we take a break, I thought what we'd do is listen to, and I don't know how they determine, if you don't have everybody in the whole world doing something and participating and trying out, how can they know that? But Tim Storms boasts a vocal range of 10 octaves, and his lowest note is so deep it can only be heard by elephants after these words.
There are high notes. And there are low. But just how low can you go? Not bad, but they're no match for this man, who officially has the lowest voice in the world. That last note is so low, Tim Storm says only animals can hear it.
Elephants. Yeah, I've heard that they communicate like they can hear each other like over 25 miles or something like that, because I think they communicate around 4 hertz, some frequencies around there.
You can't hear the low notes.
Right. Yeah, I can feel them though. Yeah, I can kind of hear them in my head as far as the sound my vocal cords are making. But as far as the frequencies, it's, you know, something more or less that I feel.
To heaven.
Tim first broke the record in 2000, and it's a record that he keeps breaking.
I just get lower the older I get. If you listen to a recording of a person's voice when they're 30, and then a recording of their voice when they're 80, there's a pretty good difference as far as the how low they talk.
Tim also holds the record for the widest range. He sings in an unprecedented 10 octaves.
And when a normal person's range is what?
Probably 2 or 3 octaves.
Well, how is this biologically possible?
I sang with an a cappella group back in, well, a few years ago. And one of the concerts we had, there was an ear, nose, and throat specialist that came to the concert. He's like, man, I got to look at your vocal cords. He said that my vocal cords were about twice as long as normal.
Wow.
And then he's used to seeing anyway. And the arytenoid muscles around my vocal cords were, they had a lot more movement to them.
Tim's unique vocal cords made him the ideal candidate for Tranquility, a choral album that prompted a global talent search for a singer who could hit a low E, the deepest note ever written for a choral composition. Hitting new lows, Tim Storms may be, but his career is about to reach new heights.
I understand you're also doing some voiceover work as well.
Yeah.
Are you doing some animation?
Possibly. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to do some reads today and see how that goes. But yeah, I love doing voiceover work and movie trailers.
I'd like to see that cartoon character.
I love doing cartoon voices. My kids love it too. 2 year old.
Erin McLaughlin, CNN, London.
Ever smell coffee beans roasting?
You probably will when you start buying your bags of coffee at Slow Roasted Coffee's warehouse in Los Osos. Slow Roasted Coffee is expanding their own in-house store, which will feature, you guessed it, coffee and accessories. They're open weekdays from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m., and there's always a few free coffees for you to sample. Catch this. You'll save money with the new Slow Roasted Coffee Coin Club. Here's how it works. After each coffee purchase, they'll stamp your coin, and your 10th pound will be free. Of course, your local grocery stores still carry Slow Roasted Coffee, but now you can shop directly at their warehouse. That's right. Walk in the door, and you might smell the beans a-roastin'. You'll find Slow Roasted Coffee in Los Osos at 1172 Los Olivos Avenue near Fairchild. Now in their third decade, Slow Roasted Coffee is truly a Central Coast tradition that tastes great.
Lenny's been pretty upset with the Dodgers this year, and he's thinking about switching teams. Hi, this is Michael Morin from Morin Brothers Automotive with Lenny and Gertie, the diagnostic duo. If your car is reaching the end of its career and you're thinking of switching to a newer model, give us a call at Morin Brothers before you buy, especially if you're looking for a used car. We can recommend the right car for you and check out a used car before you buy. If you're going to pick a losing team, you want to pick one you love.
Call Morin Brothers Automotive at 541-2407. Look for the building with the green metal woof.
How do I know if a noise is dangerous? As a general rule, noise may damage your hearing if, for instance, you have to shout over background noise to make yourself heard. The damage from too loud of noise makes your ears ring or causes you to have decreased or muffled hearing for several hours after exposure, or if the noise is painful to the ears. Cotton balls or tissue do not protect your hearing. Noise-induced hearing loss typically occurs slowly over a period of time and is painless. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Karen Scott Hearing Aids and Audiology.
Friday afternoon beer mug full of jazz right there with Grover Washington, Bill Benica, and 1340 KYNS, your new station. I thank you for joining me again today. And also, the Weather Wizard said this weekend should be fairly mild, and as in, upper 60s, thereabouts, in San Luis Obispo, Santa Maria, and the five cities, and then warmer than that in the North County, colder than that by the coast. So pretty well wraps up how things are going to be. Pretty much covers the whole gamut right there. That's our weather. All right, other things that we have going on in our world, other things that are happening. Let me tell you about this, about Charter. Don't forget, this deal's not going to last forever. You crazy? You get the fastest internet, reliable phone. The Charter Triple Play gives you the best of Charter at the best price. Over 100 HD channels. Use Apple and Android apps to view TV content on your devices anywhere there's a Wi-Fi connection. Charter has over 10,000 video on-demand titles, many in 3D. Charter was named the nation's fastest internet by PC Magazine. Charter internet has powerful upload and download speeds, enough bandwidth to support everybody's device in the home, and get reliable phone service too with unlimited local and long distance with Charter Phone. So you get all three of these things, $29.95 each if you bundle three together for a year, which is really a good deal. And all you have to do is call 1-855-75-SWITCH. I just run out of numbers. Call 1-855-75-SWITCH. And don't forget, other terms and restrictions apply. Go to charter.com for details. I don't know what they are. Other restrictions and okay. And this reminder one more time, and that is the fact that Chris Stewart and Janet Beasley concert at the Slow Botanical Gardens is not sold out yet. So if you'd like tickets, all you have to do is go to slowbc.org and slowbc.org and see what's up. Because I think it's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. All right. You know, it's so sad. And here we're going to find out about it in the next. Here, let me, matter of fact, let's check something, okay? Let's check right here and see if this storm has hit Haiti yet. It was headed right for Port-au-Prince, and it was due to hit around now, I think. And it's so sad. The Haitians have nothing. They just have nothing since the earthquake. They have nothing. They live in tents. And now the nothing's going to get screwed up by this hurricane. And they're worried about mudslides and all like that. I mean, it's hard to imagine. It's just heartbreaking for these poor people. It's heartbreaking how long it takes this computer to just load CNN. All right, there we go. Let me see what it says. Nope. Norwegian killer was sent out. Try to imagine you can kill 77 people and get 21 years, but that's what he was sentenced to. That's hardly sane. Three shot in the U.S. government vehicle in Mexico. That was another bad shooting today. Isaac strengthening near Haiti. That's all it's saying. Let me go ahead and click on it, see what it says. I mean, everyone do this too fast. Oh, I got data loading here. Oh, that's just a picture. Okay. That doesn't tell me anything. Right now, we do know this. It has sustained winds of 60 miles an hour with gusts of 70 miles an hour. It's moving at about northwest at about 14 miles per hour. So the question, of course, everybody has is what's it going to do when it gets to Florida? And it seems to be heading a little more westerly than it originally thought to be headed, but it still could cause all kinds of heck and mayhem at the Republican National Convention. So it's expected to hit the Haiti with gale force winds and stinging rain sometime today. The country's under a hurricane watch. But it's just, let me see if I can play this. It's just so sad. These people have nothing. They eat dirt sandwiches, you know that? So in order their stomachs think there's something in there, they eat dirt sandwiches.
The threat of a hurricane in Haiti in August of 2012 is much more dire because of what happened here in January of 2010 when the earthquake hit Haiti, killing 300,000 people, literally 3% of the population. 10 million people live in this country. And now you have 400,000 people who are still homeless in Haiti. And this is one of those neighborhoods, one of those tent cities where people live. This is Port-au-Prince, and this is an area called Ica. And these tents have been here for most of the last 955 days since January 12, 2010. And what's startling, what's stunning about Isaac is that the people here, everyone we've talked to with translators, you can get a look at what this looks like. It literally is a tent city. Everyone we've talked to so far who lives here, who resided here since the earthquake, has no idea that Isaac is coming. We had a translator come through here. People are telling us, we don't know there's a storm. It's perfectly sunny right now. We explain it's always sunny before the storm arrives. But people tell us, even if a storm is coming, we have nowhere to go. The fact is, there are shelters in this nation. There are shelters in churches. There are shelters in police stations and fire stations, but they're full. And these people, not only do they think they can't fit inside a shelter, but they don't want to leave their tent homes and their ramshackle houses right here, because this is all they have. One lady just told us a short time ago that if a storm comes through here, it'll be wet. They're used to rain. The sun will come out, and everything will be dry and okay.
See, another thing they're worried about is that they had rains in April, if you remember, in Haiti, and they had a terrible cholera outbreak. Well, now we can imagine how they're feeling about that right now. This is just even worse. So, there but for the grace. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Let's see what else we got up our sleeve today. Now, here's this thing about, I don't understand. From what I'm seeing, the whales are kind of breaching wherever they want to breach. It didn't look to me like they were turnpiking, but maybe they are. It says whale voyeurs told not to get too close. It could be a federal offense. It could be all kinds of other stuff. So I don't know. Stay in the harbor, I guess. Iran has been said to have been speeding up their nuclear process, so they say there's almost an impenetrable bunker that they have these centrifuges in, and they're centrifuging stuff. And so these predictions they have changed so often and are so different so many times that it's the boy crying wolf. Who knows? But they said they think that to have a deliverable warhead on a missile would take another couple of years. Then doesn't say anything about a deliverable anything in a suitcase, which is one of the biggest fears we have, of course, with a nuclear weapon. So anyhow, so the whole thing is what's going to happen now. Let me tell you what's going on in Syria. France is saber-rattling in Syria and saying they may consider starting to enforce a no-fly zone over parts of Syria. The Russians have assured us that the Syrians have said they will not use chemical weapons of any kind. Of how assured I am with that. And this guy, Todd Akin, just won't quit. He's completely out of his mind, and he won't quit. And it's like, I just, you know, it's beyond the pall at this point, beyond the pale. It's just really weird. So now, remember the little girl that had all the flesh-eating bacteria stuff was going on with her? Okay, well, she's home, so things are better now. And she lost as better as they can be. She lost both her hands, her left leg, and her right foot. But she's always been in a good mood. They say she's just in a good mood. It's like, it's nice to have a attitude like that, I think, you know, to be able to look at life like that when you're in that bad of shape. Then here's the thing. U.S. troops not the only ones at risk in Afghanistan. They say Afghans turn on each other. Even as attacks by Afghan security forces on NATO troops have become an increasing source of tension, new NATO data shows another sign of vulnerability for the training mission. Even greater numbers of the Afghan police and military forces have killed each other this year. Please come home. Come on. Come on. Bring them on home. So here's a story about, it says, insider attacks a wild card for the U.S. troops.
I'm not obsessing over it. I mean, it's there. It's part of wearing a uniform.
Charles Taylor's headed to Afghanistan in October. It's the third time he's been in a combat situation. He was part of Operation Desert Storm, and he also served in the U.S. war with Iraq. So he knows the drill about getting ready to leave. At his home in eastern Maryland, he's going to cap the chimney for winter, and he's chopping a lot of firewood. But this time, Taylor's done something to prepare to leave that he hasn't done before. He sat down with his wife. They've been married for 17 years. And he told her what to expect if something happens to him.
And I explained to her that if something happens to me, I end up coming back through Dover, Delaware, that in the morning there'll be two soldiers dressed in Class A uniform. They'll probably wait down the road. I showed her where they'll probably wait, and they'll wait for lights to come on in the morning, and they'll come to the house. They'll knock on the door. There'll be a chaplain and an officer of equal rank or higher, and they will tell her that I'm gone.
I'm CNN's Libby Lewis. So why did Charles Taylor have that talk this time? Well, Major Charles Taylor is one of the guys with the Maryland National Guard who's training Afghan citizens as police officers. Just like Robert Marshanti, who died at the hands of a trained Afghan police officer in February. The Afghan officer also shot and killed Air Force Lieutenant Colonel John Loftus. The attack happened inside a secure building in the Afghan Ministry of the Interior, days after NATO troops burned copies of the Quran by mistake. Charles Taylor knew Bob Marshanti, and he trained with him.
I knew him before I was training with him, and I got to know him pretty well, you know, while I was training. And so maybe, you know, the fact that something hit so close to home made come to realization it could, you know, it could be anybody. It could be you. So,
of course, in war, it could always be you. That's war.
Sure. I mean, I'm not obsessing over it. I mean, it's there. It's part of wearing a uniform.
But these insider attacks hit close to home for the Maryland National Guard and its headquarters in Baltimore. Bob Marshanti worked in this building, so a lot of the people here knew him and knew the work he did in Afghanistan, including Charles Kohler.
Do you see my flag behind you? I forget that's on there. See the police advisory cell for Task Force, Joint Task Force Phoenix?
Lieutenant Colonel Kohler was in the first group from the Maryland National Guard to help train Afghan citizens to serve in the Afghan Army and Police. That was back in 2007. Kohler worked out of the Afghan Ministry of Interior. That's where Bob Marshanti was when he was shot.
Do you want me to show you his Facebook site? Yeah, you know, he and I are friends on Facebook, and this was my office produced a video that we put together for his memorial ceremony. And we used, we put pictures of him that we have in the memorial ceremony. I mean, here he is with his grandson.
Down the hall in the armory is Shanae Clay. She was in Marshanti's unit. She's 24.
He wasn't one of the ones that, like, some are, like, very strict, but he was more the warm, loving type, like, everything's going to be okay, more like a mentor type or father type figure.
On the other side of the armory is Bob Marshanti's office. He worked in the facilities engineering office. Bob Marshanti's empty desk and chair are in the corner. And there's a life-size cardboard figure of a Maryland National Guardsman in combat fatigues and camouflage, with the words "Marylanders at their best." The figure is a photo of Bob Marshanti. Marshanti's unit just returned from Afghanistan. And Charles Taylor and about 70 others from the Maryland National Guard will head to Afghanistan in October to keep training Afghan citizens as police officers. Libby Lewis, CNN.
Help, 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 help. All right, let's something hit. Come on, Bill, you can do it. It's Friday. You only got a few minutes. The three Slow Little Theaters leases are up, and that's John King, Rob Rossi own the theaters downtown. And so this, and they're run by a group called Sanborn Theaters Incorporated. So they include the cinemas on Marsh Street, the Downtown Center Cinemas, and the historic Fremont and Mission Cinemas, both on Monterey. So here's the deal on this: it's a little bit spooky to me, from what they're saying. I knew that they were thinking about an IMAX theater, but they're thinking that from it sounds of like that they would combine, the Fremont and the Mission Cinemas to make a new 300-seat IMAX theater. So that would mean, that would be the end of the Fremont's sign, beautiful Art Deco-y, would it? I think so. Currently, the closest IMAX theater is at the Hearst Castle Visitor Center in San Simeon, and unfortunately, they have one movie they show, Building the Dream, which they've shown now since the theater was built, and it would be kind of fun if they would show other movies during the year, and you might want to drive up there and see one. Or you might just go to San Luis Obispo now and see it. All right, here people that had a visit to the Slo Museum of Art had a treat here this week. They had Tibetan monks there that were doing this thing where they take little tiny grains of sand that are colored, and they make these beautiful, they're actually called a mandala. And then after they get done with the mandala, where is it right here? In acceptance of the impermanence of life, the monks destroyed the artwork just after its completion and handed out little colored sand to people that were onlookers. It had taken 17 hours over 3 days to create the Mandela. There's something else you could do to show the, you know, impermanence of things. You know, I don't eat a Big Mac or something like that. All right. So that's what's going on with that. People who need people. I actually had another story I was going to play for you, but I think I will. I want you to hear this one. Okay, I'm going to play a different story for you. Because we, you know, we're talking, they're talking about us falling off a fiscal cliff and what that could do to us. And so I thought we'd find out what that means.
That is the budget drop-off that Congress will reach at the end of the year. And if Congress doesn't act, taxes will go up for nearly every American, and sharp spending cuts could hit most of government. Now, that cliff is in the news today because of a new report from top budget analysts.
Well, you read this report, it's pretty ominous.
As John King says, it is a dark forecast. This report is from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. It's funny, a very dramatic report coming from rather mild-mannered people.
Good morning. Thank you all for coming.
That is Doug Elmendorf.
I'm Doug Elmendorf.
He heads the CBO. There were not many reporters at his press conference, but those who were there seem to know why his report is a very big deal.
Summarize the report and then my
in it, the CBO looked at what exactly happens if Congress hits this fiscal cliff, if all those taxes do go up and all those spending cuts start slicing. The answer is a major trade-off. The good news, hitting the fiscal cliff would
lead to a dramatic reduction in the federal deficit.
Makes sense. More taxes, less spending, so the deficit would drop by the largest percentage in decades. But the bad news is all that money cut from the system would shock the economy.
And would probably lead to a recession early next year.
CBO says unemployment would go back up to 9% and the economy would contract again. Now, those words have caused ripples across business in America.
We do have some significant concerns.
Richard McMahon is with the Edison Electric Institute. That's an umbrella group for electricity companies. And he's so worried about this fiscal cliff that he called me from a cab to get in this story. He's worried that if taxes go up, especially for his investors, and if the economy slows down, it will hit them and you.
You know, we're concerned that, you know, imposing a significant increase in the tax on this capital will raise our cost of business and thereby affect the cost of electricity for all of our consumers.
So what does CBO say that Congress should do about all this?
We don't make recommendations. That's very important.
It's not CBO's job. Instead, CBO says its main advice to Congress is for it to just make some kind of decision. But that won't be soon. No one expects any decisions from Congress until at least after the November election. And at that point, the choices will not be good. Either hit the fiscal cliff or avoid it and add to the nation's mountain of debt. Lisa Desjardins, CNN.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue. For me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Yep. A wonderful world. Right there. Hey, have a wonderful weekend. There's so many things to do, and then we'll get back together again on Monday at noon. I'm Bill Benica, thanking you for joining me today. And until then, may your trails be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap.
the Friends and Neighbors Network. With Bill Benica.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.